General Manager of the Kansas City Royals, Executive Vice President. Kind enough to join us as he does every couple of weeks. I'm sure you've been to Springfield before because, of course, for being around baseball enough with minor league affiliates and everything. Have you had Springfield cashew chicken?
I can't say that I have.
What's your go-to order at a Chinese restaurant?
Usually just the any type of chicken, stir fry, pretty basic. I don't have the stomach for anything too spicy, too hot, so I stay pretty bland.
But you said you'd heard, I guess, this cashew chicken in Springfield. It started there. It's supposed to be very good, and maybe we went to the wrong place. I'm just saying I didn't think it was any good, JJ. That's all.
Now, the only thing I've heard of down there, they have I think it's a breakfast place, a biscuit throw.
Oh, Lambert's, the home of the throne rolls?
Yeah. Lambert's, yeah.
Got it. Yep. You got it.
I've lived in Missouri long enough, JJ. I found my way into a Lambert's once or twice.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Okay. We're obviously going to get to what's going on with the big league club, but just because we were in Springfield, we can confirm, it turns out Jack Caglione can hit the baseball pretty far.
Yeah, no, that's something without a doubt. I mean, he's been doing that for a long time with his career in Florida, so seeing him hit balls as far as he hits them is certainly part of his game and a big part of his game. I think it's the part that catches everybody's eye, so, but I know that you guys were down there and it looked like you hit that one pretty good.
When you look at what Jack Caglione, I know that you guys like guys to dominate a level before going to the next level. What is a timeline for Jack Caglione from AA to AAA? Do you think that could be in the cards here in the future?
Well, it's certainly we don't have a set date on it. It's just one of those things that when our evaluators are down there, and we had a bunch in Springfield this week, make the recommendation to our player development staff that it's time to move Jack to AAA. That's when we'll move him. But those things are so hard to just say it's going to be by this date or by that date. What we want is between now and the time Jack hits the major leagues, he's as complete of a hitter as he can possibly be. We know how hard it is in the major leagues, watching some of the young guys that are in the major leagues right now really struggling, and that's not the way we want to break Jack into the big leagues. It doesn't mean he won't struggle, but we want him to be as prepared as he possibly can. A lot of that comes down to swing decisions, understanding what the situations are, really no different than any other hitter. Jack's just clearly very talented and is on a faster track than most guys would be.
Organizationally, do you guys kind of avoid the midweek call up? Like, would you guys typically do that? Like, would you want Omaha home? Do you do that on a Monday? Because then, the minor league schedule is crazy now. They just like spend 6 days in a place.
Yeah. Ideally, you want when a player makes, gets a promotion, you want them to make one stop, just go to the club that they're going to. But it doesn't always work out that way. That's the most ideal. You got the Monday off day, guys can travel, get settled, and then they're not getting on a plane or a bus to go somewhere else. So that's the most ideal, but we've done it so many different ways, but this schedule in the minor leagues, which is pretty clean, does make things like that a little bit more difficult, but certainly not impossible.
We're talking to JJ Piccolo here on 96.5 The Fan. Someone that was in the minors to start this season, Drew Waters, has now been up with you guys for multiple weeks, and he looks somewhat like I don't know if it's fair to say a different player. I don't know if it's confidence. What has changed for him this time around?
Well, I think what Drew's doing right now is staying within his abilities. He's not trying to do too much. I think he's bought into the idea that he's very athletic. The more he can get on base, the more we can use his legs, the more valuable he is to the team. I think something that maybe he's gotten Drew in trouble in the past is he can hit a ball a long way. He's got power, but that's not going to be his game, and certainly not at Kauffman Stadium. It's just, too difficult. We've seen it over the years to count on power. There's certain guys, they have power to hit it out of the ballpark here, but large majority of our players need to be good hitters. They need to make good swing decisions. They need to put the ball in play. In Drew's case, because he's athletic, use his legs. And we really like what he's doing right now. He's not trying to do too much. The at-bat yesterday with two outs and two men on, that was a huge at-bat. And he had two strikes on him. He did a great job laying off a changeup. And then he just slaps a ball to left center field and knocks in two. If we have five or six hitters in our lineup who can do that, especially, towards the bottom of our lineup to get the top of our lineup back over, now our offense will really get something going, and Drew's doing a great job with it.
What about Mikel? Same energy we're talking about with Drew Waters, except for he stayed in the major leagues this entire time. We've seen good stretches out of Mikel Garcia where this kind of stuff happens. I think we've talked a little bit about his power before and how it needs to come naturally, not, you know, maybe early in the year where it felt like maybe he was going to have a bigger home run year. Now, once again, after two home runs yesterday, like, Mikel, where's his confidence, I guess? And like, is he doing anything different than last year that makes this more sustainable?
I think the big difference, very similar to what we were just saying about Drew, he's staying within his abilities. Mikel's not going to be a 30 home run guy, but he's got enough power to hit some homers. But the key is, you know, he had two really good at bats after the homers. He hit a single to right center field, and he moved a runner late in the game. That's a clear sign to us that Mikel has matured from last year to this year. He's staying within what the pitchers give him. He's not trying to do too much. And that was as exciting from my perspective as the two home runs, because that's baseball and that's the way we're going to win games. And Mikel last year got out of that. It wasn't until we got late in the year into the playoffs he dialed it back in. So we know it's within his abilities. There's no doubt he's a very talented player. But when you see a player not get caught up in a game where he's hit a couple balls really good and stay within his abilities, that's a great sign of where Mikel is mentally right now.
JJ, I don't know if this is on purpose or not, but I felt like I've noticed he's pulling the ball more. Was that, you know, is that an intentional thought, or like, what do you kind of think about his swing that way?
No, actually his focus has been more right center field, and he's got his share of hits to right center field. But the idea is, if I'm trying to pull the ball, it's more likely I'm going to pull off the ball and not handle balls on the outer part of the plate. So the mental approach is try to stay towards right center field. If they hang a breaking ball like yesterday, yeah, I can turn on it, but I'm also staying closed and putting myself in a good position to hit that ball, and therefore you pull it. You know, so I think it's quite the opposite. Because he's staying more towards the middle of the field, if somebody makes a mistake and throws something soft on the inner half, he's going to pull it. But he's got to stay on those balls away and stay to right center field if he's going to hit for average, get on base. And one of the other great indicators right now is he's walking at a very high rate compared to what his career walk rate's been. So they're all great signs, and we just need him to stay on that track.
We didn't have a chance to talk to you since Noah Cameron made his MLB debut, of course, last week for Cole Reagans, who, of course, scheduled to start tonight, I believe. What did you see from Noah Cameron to be able to go out there and put himself in that kind of position in his debut? And now I would imagine just the talk about confidence has to be pretty high for him.
Yeah. So a whole lot of composure out there. He was not rattled one bit. Actually, you know, from the time he arrived to the clubhouse, he did not seem like a rookie about to make his debut. He's very, very calm, very confident. And the composure is what really stood out. And, you know, probably going to be hard for a lot of people to believe, but even by his own admission, when he broke down the game the next day, he really didn't have his best stuff. You know, he can throw the ball a lot better, more crisp with his command. His breaking ball can be sharper. You know, his velocity was fine. But, you know, he wasn't what we've seen in the past, which is a great sign, because in his major league debut, he knew he didn't have his best stuff, but he kept making pitches and competing. And that's a great sign of somebody that's going to do some really good things in major leagues.
How about somebody who's already done a lot in the major leagues? Salvador Perez, I kind of liken him, and I know you guys know at this point, you got to drag his ass off the field if he's going to miss any time. But I mean, he's 35. Do you guys look at a player like that? Do you consider like, hey, maybe we need to give him a day? Because it's not easy to get Salvi not to play baseball.
Yeah, it's a constant discussion with Salvi. He loves being on the field, and that's what you love about him, right? He's a warrior. You know, he wants to be on that field every day. I think he's at a point in his career where he understands he can't catch quite as much as he did before. You know, fortunately, we have a really good other catcher in Freddie Fermin that allows us to do that and get Salvi off his legs a little bit. But it is a battle, but it's a good battle. You know, he wants to play, and that's what your good leaders do. They want to play. They want to compete. Salvi's, you know, the best I've ever been around with as far as his desire and his mental toughness to get through, I'll say even pain at times and play. And then there comes a time where we've got to protect him from himself. The other day it was pretty clear, you know, he had aggravated, the groin and a little bit of his hip that he's had going on. And when he comes out of a game, you know that it's bugging him a little bit more. And he was very amenable to not playing the next day and even getting another day off after that. And then got back in there yesterday, and we'll slowly start getting him back behind the plate, but we want to do it at the right time because we need Salvi through the entire season. You know, we don't need him for a week. We need him for 6-7 months is what we need him for. So being able to have those conversations with Salvi is really important, and he understands that. He's a pro, and he knows what this game's all about.
Cole Reagans tonight, as you guys open up a series against the White Sox, we know his start last was skipped, of course. That's why we brought up Noah Cameron. But is he any limitation for Cole tonight? Is he good to go?
Yeah, no, he's good to go. He, you know, it was our choice to skip a start here. We're pretty confident he could have made that start last Wednesday. But same idea. You know, this is the long haul. It's not about one start. We don't have any preset limitations on him. We'll just watch him closely. You know, the coaches in the dugout, the trainers, you know, if we see any signs of fatigue in the fifth inning, you know, we're not going to push it. You know, we're hoping he give us a good five, maybe six. If he does that, that's great. He's going to be really efficient with his pitches to do so. But that'll be an in-game decision on how to handle him.
I want to ask you about one more player who is, because again, you guys struggled on offense for the first month. Now that some hitting's come your way the last week, it's obvious in the notable guys. Vinny Pasquantino seems to be hitting quite a bit better the last week. I guess, in retrospect, what do you think the issues were for Vinny? And what are you seeing the last few days that's making it look a little bit better?
Well, Vinny looks more like himself right now. He's swinging at good pitches, and he's hitting the ball hard on low-line drives, not real high trajectory. I think early on it was pretty evident that it was pitch selection. You know, probably Vinny's best attributes is he's very selective. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. As he's gotten better and he's more recognizable to the other team, they pitch him a little bit tougher, and they had him chasing for a couple weeks. Balls, they were pounding him inside, and, you know, Vinny was fighting him off, and that's not the pitches he really wants to hit. But I think what Vinny's done is slowed it down really, really well. He's swinging at good pitches, and, you know, this is the hitter we know Vinny is. That's why we never had any panic with him. It was just a matter of getting him enough at bats and getting his timing back so he can see the ball well, and Vinny will do what he does.
J.J. Piccolo, Royals General Manager, Vice President of Baseball Ops, always kind enough to join us here on Cody and Gold. We appreciate it, J.J. We'll check in a few weeks.
Okay, guys. Thank you.